Are you churching or de-churching? What's the trajectory that you are on right now? Are you pressing into the church and what you are called to be, or are you drifting away? Or maybe just somewhere in the middle? As the trend in the American church, the attendance continues on an accelerated decline, I think it's interesting that more and more people are spiritually seeking. In a turbulent world, people are seeking hope and truth and looking for a place to belong and looking to have purpose. So why then would the church be struggling? It should be a place where people find all these things. Is the church missing something? Think about that for a moment. I'm going to invite you in just a moment to diagnose the church, okay? I'm going to invite you to be part of this. Think about the church, maybe this congregation, your experience in it, maybe a different one, maybe the church in America, maybe the church in the world, if that's your experience. And think about if you could change one thing in the church today, what would that be? If you could change one thing, what would that be? I'm going to invite you to do something kind of difficult. I'm going to invite you to share that with somebody in just a moment. If you're online, you can type it in the comment. The church needs to do this better. What do you think? Don't point fingers. Be gracious. Be honest. But let's maybe share that with someone. The church needs to do this blank better. Okay? Go ahead. Share that with someone. Did you notice anything? It's really quiet. And I get that. You know, I'm asking you something very personal. How does the church need to be better? Well, I hope you realize that in asking this question that I'm taking a big risk that you would actually answer that. Kind of like an honest introspection and evaluation. Maybe, you know, that could highlight my own shortcomings and my own failures, and I admit, I have those. And although I think we are a great church, we also have areas where we can grow, which is what the Apostle Peter said to his hearers. He wanted them to understand this about themselves. In his first letter, he reminds them that they have room to grow. You know, of all Jesus' disciples, right, Peter, he should understand that. You know, Peter, he often showed his immaturity in the Bible. He often got it wrong. And when it really mattered the most, when Jesus was being tried and crucified, he abandoned him. So Peter gets it. He also discovered that Jesus is full of grace. He later wrote to the church saying, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So growth is the theme of this sermon series called Aligned for Life. And specifically, we're talking about spiritual growth. And it's the process of allowing Christ to express himself in you to bring God's glory. So spiritual growth, becoming more and more like Jesus. Today, we're looking at aligning for the church. So the goal is to become more like Jesus. You know, to become more like him, we need to know him, right? And to know Jesus, we need to plug into the church. Is that right? Do we really need the church to grow spiritually? Well, author of Kingdom Living, Pastor Tony Evans, he writes this: "We're stymied in our spiritual growth when we cut ourselves off from the body. And here's why. The church is the environment that stimulates our spiritual growth and development." When I was in grade school, I remember going to a homecoming pep rally that looked something like Burning Man, if you've ever seen pictures of that. So the seniors would spend all day stacking up logs and piles of wood and pallets into this big, huge pile. And then when it got dark, they'd light it up, and it would become this roaring, blazing bonfire, huge sparks flying all over the place. And it got the whole student body ready for the upcoming game. Even the fire department enjoyed it. So that, you know, that's kind of the idea that the writer of Hebrews has when he writes, "Spur one another on." It's kind of like get blazing for the game plan. So what is the game plan for our own spiritual growth? Well, I think the Apostle Paul, he makes it pretty clear. He says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. In other words, you are the plan. So if you're new with us, what's coming up is a reminder of who we are. Here it goes. Ready? Who is the church? We are the church. All right. Then, if we are the church, then the answer to the question, how does the church need to do better, is a challenge to you. How do you need to get better? When we align our plan with God's plan, we grow. And when we grow, then the church grows and gets better. So you are part of God's plan to make the church grow and make the church better. So today, I'm going to highlight two ways in which the church gets better. And when I say better, I mean that we become who God made us to be. And the Apostle Paul, he reveals that in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians in this letter. The first way we get better is by being full of different people. In other words, a diverse church is a better church. So let's look at what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Say many. Many parts. So he uses this analogy of a body. We get that. Many parts, one body. So it's the same for the church. Jesus brought together through the Holy Spirit a whole bunch of varied people that he called his disciples, right? His followers. And they became the church. And as believers, we are added to the church as we become believers in Jesus Christ. And the church grows, not just by numbers, but by unique individual believers from all tribes and tongues and nations. But we are all one in Christ, one church. So each of us brings a unique spiritual gift for the church's ministry. So we're a different bunch of people. Anybody agree with that? Okay, we're a different bunch of people. And the more different people that we are, with different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different socioeconomic statuses, male, female, the more different we are, the better we are. Now that might kind of be like an odd thing for you today, but it's true. At least that's what Jesus intended, that there be no divisions, which is good, right? Because that's what the world needs right now. In fact, I believe that is what the church needs right now. Someone gave me a book called The Great De-Churching. The authors are Jim Davis, Michael Graham. There's a social scientist who adds into it, Ryan Berg. And the book, it tackles the subject about people leaving the church in droves, which is weird, I think, because we're all here today. We're online. But here's what's happening around us. They write, the size, pace, and scope of de-churching in America is at such historic levels that there's no better phrase to describe this phenomena than the great de-churching. The great de-churching. So before now, the largest religious shift in church attendance was actually about 150 years ago, just after the Civil War. In that 25-year period, or church attendance almost doubled during that period. So that religious shift, they say, pales in comparison to what is happening right now. But instead of people going to church, people are leaving the church. About 40 million in the last 25 years have stopped going to church. They stopped going. They were going, they stopped. So who's leaving? Well, the answer is every possible category of people. Young people, old people, kids, youth, wealthy, poor, black, white, brown, women, men, all categories. So tell me again. Who is the church? Okay. Then, how do we respond to the great de-churching? You know, the authors, they have some encouragement for us. They say, all is not lost, and I would agree. In fact, the American church's greatest work may well be ahead. I believe that that is true. I believe the best for the church is yet to come. And here's why. Because when we show up together, the Holy Spirit shows up in our midst. The Holy Spirit in us, together, within us. And in a powerful way, we experience the presence of God. And when that happens, we mature. And when we mature, we grow. And when we grow, we get better. The writer of Ephesians, it says, "And to him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." God is alive in you by his Spirit. God is here, present with us right now, forming and shaping us into who God calls us to be. And there is a reason for all that. It's not just so that we can take, not just so that we can receive, but so that we can give and give out of what God has given us. So it takes all of us to reach all of us. It takes you. It's true that people outside these walls are spiritually hungry, and you have the Holy Spirit. You have the answers that people are seeking. And beating the body of Christ means that we receive all that God has for us, but it also means that we give out of all that God has given us. You are encouraged and built up in the church, and you are called to encourage and build up others. You play a role, and as you grow, you both receive and you give of your gifts. If you only receive and don't give, then you're not fulfilling your role as the church, as the body of Christ. Now, that might sound a little accusing. Why would I say that? Because I want you to grow. And that's a giving, receiving proposition. Listen to what the apostle, he writes. He says, "Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear were to say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." Maybe you think you're not important to the life of the church. Maybe you don't realize what gifts you have or that they matter. I want to tell you right now, they matter. You matter. Your gifts are important. It's important that we use what God has given us. We are part of the church for a very important reason, to use the gifts that God has given us. Be the church, right? Be the church. Be who God made you to be. The body of Christ needs you and the gifts that you have. And it's why it's so important that you are here today and online, that you are showing up. That means a lot. Because when you grow up, when you show up and use your gifts. I want to say that again. You grow up when you show up and use your gifts. So we are all different people. We all have different gifts, and that is what God designed. The apostle writes, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" I think too many churches want everybody to be the same. Want everybody to see the world the same. Want everybody to do the same things. Want everybody to look the same. Kind of a cookie cutter kind of thing. You know, you stamp out a cookie, it looks like the cutter. Boom, 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 boom. And if we were that, wouldn't the church be nice? Well, I don't know. According to the gospel, it doesn't seem that way. We all have unique gifts and we all have unique abilities and we're different, and God calls us together to be one in Christ in our differences and gives us the Holy Spirit to form and shape and grow us into the likeness of Jesus. See, we're not supposed to look like each other. We're supposed to look like Jesus. That's the whole point. That we look like Jesus in all our diversity. We look like Jesus as the body of Christ, as we come together, as we work together with all the gifts that God has given us. We look like Jesus because who are we? We are the body of Christ. The apostle writes, "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts." Say many parts. "As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Say one body. One body. many parts, one body. That's God's plan for the church. So let's review. We're challenged to grow and get better and be the church by allowing for all our differences, because a diverse church is a better church. So who's the church? You guys are getting good at this. All right, then we better take care of each other, because we need each other. So turn to the person beside you and say, I need you. Go ahead. I need you. You don't need to sound desperate. I need you. The other day I was working outside, and I came to the door and I hollered, Cheryl, I need you. I cut my finger and it was bleeding all over. I don't do blood really very well. So I got my EMT wife to come and help me out. She rescued me. I survived. She gave me a Band-Aid. The truth is, as a church, we desperately really do need each other. We don't function apart. The apostle writes, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker or indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. One of the vitality questions for the church, for church growth and vitality, that we ask about our ministry is this. Would anyone in the community notice if Bethlehem Covenant Church ceased to exist? I think the answer is yes, they would notice. But some of you may be feeling like you wouldn't be noticed if you ceased to be part of the church. Does anybody feel like that today? If you were no longer part of the church, would anyone notice? Would it make a difference? Well, the truth is, you are needed, and you need the church, because we're dependent on each other, and that brings up our second point. A church dependent on each other is a better church. So if you do feel like nobody would notice you, if you're online because you think nobody cares, or worse, you've actually experienced that nobody noticed and you stopped coming, then let me say I'm sorry. You need the church to come alongside you. It's a legitimate expectation. And I take responsibility for that if you are feeling like you don't matter. You do matter. It's also a legitimate expectation that you come alongside your church. Remember, we need you, right? We are one. Christ has gifted you for this body to function properly, and you're part of that body. You have gifts to share, to serve with. And if you're not, you also are suffering from your absence. I mean, we're suffering from your absence. So it really is sad to think that someone would feel like they aren't noticed if they are no longer here. But I think that is probably the reality, and I think we ought to ask the question, why is that? Why? You know, did that person once come and serve with their gifts and then stop? Why did they stop? Or maybe that person never was encouraged to use their gifts. Maybe that's you. You just have never been encouraged to discover and use those gifts. And if that's the case, I just want to say that as a church, we can do better. We need to do better. We need to develop those gifts and help us grow, because we are mutually dependent on each other. That is God's plan. And that requires respect. The apostle writes, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to those parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I think this is pretty straightforward. In the church, there's no divisions, no privileges. Every part matters. You are important. I want to say that again. You are important, right? Do you hear that? You are important. You matter to the church. You are important. You're important. because you are part of the body of Christ. We are dependent on each other. I depend on you. You depend on me. We are together the church. Parts that aren't normally considered by the world to be of value should be held in high esteem by us in the church. We should value the God-given image in each person and every gift that God has given. You know, we should respect who Jesus respects, and he respects people no matter what their circumstances are in life. And when we nurture and cherish everyone and respond to everyone's needs, we are better. So here's why. We are better together. What happens to you happens to me, and what happens to me happens to you. Let that sink in for a moment. Look around at those in the church today. If you're online, whatever happens to you happens to me, and vice versa. What happens to me happens to you. So whatever happens to any one of us happens to the church. Why? Well, who is the church? We are the church. So what happens to one part affects all the parts of the whole church. The scripture says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. The reality in America, this newly named great de-churching, is a challenge to the vitality and life of the church. Every possible category of people is leaving the body of Christ. And what happens to one part of the church affects the well-being of the whole church. It affects you and me. So what can you and I do? We can get better at being the church. Friends, be the church. I'm convinced that our greatest work is still ahead of us. As the church grows, as you grow, we grow. Bethlehem Covenant Church is a mission outpost in our region. We are a light post, a beacon. And as each part grows, as you individually do your part and contribute to the whole mission of the church advances. As the church grows up, we use our gifts and we reach more and more people with the good news of the gospel. And the gospel calls all different kinds of people, no matter what their diversity and background is, to be dependent on each other and to be flourishing with all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, God has given this church, I believe, an abundance of love and grace for the people in the church and outside the church, for the people seeking the real Jesus. And that is our goal, simply to be more and more like Jesus, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our world. And you can make that possible by discovering and deploying the gifts that God has given you for the church. And Bethlehem depends on you. So if you grow, the church grows. If the church grows, we all grow. So turn to somebody beside you and say again, I need you, very desperately. Alex shared a story at confirmation publicly with us about how the church stepped in a time of crisis for his family, and they helped him through a difficult time. You made a difference for Alex, and you showed him what it means to depend on each other as the body of Christ. So God gifted you to be the church for and with people like Alex, to depend on one another and to grow up and to be the good news, hands and feet of Jesus. Jim Davis, author of The Great De-Churching, he writes, a healthy local church will be one that strives to be increasingly growing our true, good, and beautiful gospel, like the one Alex experiences. So are you ready to get better? Yes, here's the next step. Sign up for HMS. It is, Jesus said, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Now, I have shared with you that it is on November 5th, which is also what? Deer hunting season. So wear your orange and come to HMS. I'm asking you to make a sacrifice. I realize that. I really do. Cheryl and I got married on deer hunting season. We heard about it. So I know the kind of sacrifice that you would be making to be part of this event. But I'm really hoping that 100 of us can be here as the denominational representative comes and shares this amazing gift with us. Helps us discover who we are and how God has called us to serve. Not just individually so that you can be deployed in what really makes your heart sing, but also as a whole church so we can discover who we are and how God has placed us in this community for this time and this place. So there is going to be childcare available, and I'm going to put up on the screen a link, and you should have one online, where you can go in and pre-register for this event. And we want you to pre-register so we have some kind of idea who you're coming, and primarily for childcare. And the reason for childcare is so that we want you to be here. We really, really do. So now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So who is the church? Are you ready?
Yes.
Set? Grow. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be the body of Christ, your body, the church. And Lord, that each one of us as a believer is part of it. Lord, you have given us your spirit, but with that, you have given us unique and special gifts, working with who we are to be the body of Christ and to make an impact and a difference and to call people who are lost and left out and hurting and lonely into the good news gospel that embraces people in belonging and becoming who you called them to be. Lord, there is nothing more important, there's nothing more fulfilling than to knowing you and who you have made us to be. So Lord, help us to be the church in all of its glory, your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.